Probably no one ever lived a more opulent or affluent life than King Solomon. You will remember that in the onset of his reign as king over God's people, and actually prior to, the Bible says that God allowed Solomon to make a choice regarding his life. If God were to suddenly ask you, I would give you the desires of your heart, anything that you really want, what would it be? You ever really thought about that? If God gave you the choice tonight to have any particular one thing that you wanted, what would you want? Money? Happy marriage? To be prominent? A life of pleasure? What would it really be? Now, there's a reason why God chose Solomon, and even though Solomon made a lot of mistakes in his life, well, the first two kings prior to his reign made a lot of mistakes too. You'll remember that the first king over Israel, Saul, made a lot of mistakes, and in his rebellion, he died apart from God. And David, the man of whom the Bible says at one time was the man who was after the very heart of God, who loved God, and God said, this is the man who wants my heart. He loves me. And yet David rebelled against God as well. And we see him pouring out his penitential psalm in Psalms chapter 51 and Psalms chapter 32. And then Solomon, the son of David, who was chosen by God to rule over God's people. At the very beginning of his life, he made that request of God. It was not for wealth. It was not for opulency, if you will. It was not for money, for pleasure, for a happy marriage, obedient kids. I mean, he'd seen the life of his father, David, and he had seen his brother Absalom rebel against his father and against the kingdom of God, at least his half-brother. But Solomon made a choice that very few people ever make in life, and that is the choice to be the kind of person that God really wants me to be. We often say that he prayed for wisdom. In actuality, Solomon prayed that he might have an understanding heart, that he might rule over the people of God. Now, because God honored his request, along with the blessings of God often come adversity. God blessed Solomon so well that he had everything in the world that you could ever imagine. Solomon did, by the way, execute and exercise great judgment at the house of God. But the Bible said that he married strange wives. He married pagan wives, those that did not even believe in God, those that were foreign to the teaching of God. That ultimately led to his downfall and his rejection by our Maker. But with an attempt to honor his request that he might have an understanding heart, God gave him a lot of things. He gave him, monetarily speaking, everything in the world that anyone could imagine. Why, he lived in a mansion, if you will. He had all the pleasures of life that life could afford. Well, he was abundantly blessed. But with his blessings, and with those blessings that came from God, Solomon learned a great lesson. Now, I'm not going to talk to you so much tonight about his request initially. What I want to talk to you about tonight is Solomon's last request of God. Let me ask you a question. What would your last request be of God? If you're on your dying bed or on your deathbed, or you wouldn't even have to necessarily be there, but what would be your last request of God if you knew you had one last request? Well, surprisingly enough, the last request of Solomon was much like the first request. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, verse 7 through 9, Solomon pens these words, and he says, "Two things have I desired of thee, and deny them not before I die, O God. Remove far from me vanity and lies, and give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food that is convenient and sufficient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, Who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." I think it's interesting that he, first of all, begins by saying, "Remove far from me vanity and lies." Solomon's life was wrapped up in vanity and lies. It really, really was. As a matter of fact, when he came to the apex and that climactical point in his life, Solomon would say that all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. He said, "I got everything in the world that I wanted, but it didn't bring me happiness." And that just goes to prove to us tonight that money does not bring happiness. And money has wings. Have you ever noticed that, how it just kind of flies away? I read about a young college student one time, a co-ed, who came home to her father, and she was in great remorse and tears. And she said, "Dad," she said, "you gave me some terrible financial advice." And the father looked at her somewhat stunned, and he says, "I did? Well, what did I tell you?" And she said, "You told me to put my money in that big bank, that new big bank, and now that new big bank is in trouble." And he looked at her somewhat stunned, and he says, "Well, what in the world are you talking about? That's one of the largest banks in our state," he said. There must be some terrible mistake." And she said, "I don't think so." She said, "They just returned one of my checks with a note saying insufficient funds." Well, for some reason or another, we don't get it. We get the idea in our mind that money is the cure-all for everything. And I suppose probably in Solomon's life at one point he really thought that. But he's changed his mind about wealth, because now he says it becomes the vexation of his spirit. He decides that money really isn't the cure-all, and so he says, "Remove far from me vanity and lies, and neither give me poverty nor riches. Feed me with food that is convenient for me." He has two requests of God, as a matter of fact. You know, people do anything in the world to get money. We think that money is the thing that's really going to create our happiness. It is. There was a man by the name of George, by the way, not to be confused with our George Wooden here tonight. But this man's name was George, and he found out that he was going to inherit a fortune one time when his ill father died. He decided that he needed a wife or a woman to enjoy it with him. So one evening he went to this singles club where he checked out the most beautiful woman that he had ever seen. Her natural beauty was so astounding it took his breath away. And he looked at her and he said, May I say that you are a beauty. And he walked over to her. But in just a week or two, he said, "My father is going to die." Or she said, "My father's going to die, and I'll inherit $1 million. Well, impressed, the woman went home that evening, and in 3 days, she became his stepmother. Well, you know, people have a way of figuring it out. Solomon thought, "Hey, if I had the wealth of the world, I could be the happiest person who ever lived." And you would normally think that. You know, I have to wonder tonight how happy Bill Gates is. I know Howard Hughes, and even with all of his wealth, died in an unhappy, recluse state. He did. But he was extremely wealthy. But he was unhappy. Happiness does not, listen, it's not based upon wealth. A happy marriage is not based upon wealth. A lot of people think that. J. Paul Getty once said, he said, "You know, I'd give all of my millions for one happy marriage." He'd been married several times. Solomon asked God, he says, don't refuse me this before I die. In verse 7, there is an urgency that is placed here by Solomon before God. And really, I guess more than anything else, Solomon is afraid of sinning against God and dying with an offense toward his father. So he asked God not to deny him his request. And he says, keep me from vanity and lies. Keep me from deception. You know, a Christian is to avoid the very appearance of evil, according to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22. We are. And keeping such evil away is necessary for us to regain our happiness, first of all. And I know that's counter to what the world teaches tonight. We should pray to be protected from situations that might tempt us from being deceived. Adam and Eve were in a garden that God had given to them, and I'm going to tell you, they had everything in the world at their disposal. They did. Everything to make them happy, but they still were not satisfied. They weren't. Solomon says, give me neither poverty nor riches. Why? Out of, you know, our very nature drives us not to desire poverty. If that's not true, let me just ask you tonight, anybody in here like to be poor? Anybody in here poor? Thank you, Graham. Now, but no one wants to be poor, and I'm not saying tonight that it's wrong to have money. Not wrong to have money. But money sometimes can lead to our downfall. It can lead to our destruction. It can. It takes a spiritually strong person not to allow his riches and his wealth to corrupt him. Many, many good people, and I'm serious in saying this, that have been corrupted because of the money that they had. And Solomon's learned that lesson. He says, don't give me a whole lot of money because I'm afraid it's going to draw me away from you, God. We should pray for what we need. God blesses our need, but he does not bless our greedy hearts. He does not. We need sufficient to sustain our lives. You know why I think probably Solomon knew that money was not going to make him happy. You know, if you have money, you're going to worry about someone taking it from you, aren't you? You are. You worry about your investments suddenly collapsing, like what happened with Enron. You worry about banks closing. Well, there are all kinds of things, aren't they, that rob us of our joy. But notice what else Solomon said. He said, neither give me riches, but don't give me poverty. Some would not desire poverty for various reasons. But Solomon uses a just reason here. Listen to what he says. He says, give me neither poverty nor riches, but he says, feed me with the food that is sufficient unto me. I was talking with an older gentleman the other day over in Tyler. We were over taping our television programs, and we were somewhere there. And anyway, this gentleman came up to me and had told me that he watches our little commentary every morning on NBC 56 called Something to Think About. And he said, we were talking. He said he remembered something about something I had said on one of those little segments about wealth and riches. He said, you know, here in America, we have it so good. And he said, we're never, ever satisfied. And he got to talking about all the economic problems that are going on in our country. He said, you know, we are a blessed people, but we don't realize how blessed we really are. And we're never, ever satisfied. And I said, you know, you're exactly right. You are right. Solomon says, feed me with food that is convenient. One translation says, sufficient for me. And then he says, lest I be full, that is, lest I overeat. This was the same Solomon, by the way, who made the statement one time. He says, you know, don't let me become an obese person, because before I become obese, let me take the knife and put it to my throat. Obesity is a big problem in our country. Do you realize that? It's an obesity is a real problem with our young people. Real problem. Well, they've taken snacks and drinks and things of that nature out of schools and off the campus, because so many of our young people are becoming subject to obesity. It's a real problem in this country. Solomon says, but feed me with a food that is sufficient. He said, lest I be full and deny thee. Don't we have a propensity sometimes when we are so blessed to feel that we don't need God? Do you know sometimes it's in our moments of distress and anxiety and crisis that we reach out to God and we feel that we need God? But when we get past that need and when we get past that crisis, we're back to doing what we want to do. And that's why Solomon says, don't give me riches or poverty, lest I be full and deny thee. If I have enough wealth, I'll deny you, God. He's been there. He knew what it was all about. And so he's making this last request before God. Don't let me lose my soul over money. Don't let me lose my soul over my wealth. But then he says, don't let me be in poverty either. Lest I be full, deny thee, and say, who is the Lord? You know, as long as things go good in our country economically, and Bill Clinton was right about it years ago, even though I didn't subscribe to him politically, he was right when he made the statement, it's the economy, stupid. And that's basically the way that people look at it, isn't it? Long as the economy is going good, hey, I'm all right. Everything's okay. I'm satisfied. Who is this God you're talking about? But when things don't go well, you know, God is denied in both ways. First of all, the people, when they have it real good, deny God. God doesn't exist. Hey, I don't need God. But then when there's a downturn in their life, they generally say, well, if God really loved me, he wouldn't allow this to happen to me. But then he says, down in verse 9, if I'm poor, he said, I might steal and take the name of my God in vain, that I might do something that I should not do, and that I might blame God for my poverty. Think about all the motivations that people are given to give money. I just got up early this morning. I set my clock back last night. Got up early this morning, went in, turned television on. And I was watching this preacher on TBN. And he began to talk about how he was trying to get 300 people, as he said, to covenant with him. And he said, you know, God did a great thing in my life not long ago. He says, I'm at the point now that I can retire, and God wants to do this same thing for you. And the whole 30 minutes was on how to make you wealthy and how to help you get more money where you can be happy. Nothing was said about a spiritual relationship. Nothing was said about how to get into heaven, but only how to satisfy your longing for wealth in this life. Jesus said that a man's life does not consist of the things which he possesses. All is vanity and vexation of the spirit. When Solomon makes this request of God, I want you to notice something very significant here. This request was not made because Solomon had any physical worries, but solely for the sake of not offending God. That was his reasoning behind it. This prayer really is about balance. It is essentially asking God and what God has promised for his children. We should all fear the consequences of our sins, but have strong faith to know that with God's help, we can overcome them, and that God will forgive us if we repent of our sins and if we change our lives. And no matter what life throws at us, that we are to be content with what we have been graciously given by our Father. There's a reason for people being wealthy, and there's a reason for people being poor. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, the Apostle Paul said, "Not that I speak in respect of want." He says, "For I have learned in whatever state I am in," he says, "there will I be content." He said, "I know how it is to be abased," and to be poor. That's really what he's saying. He says, "I know what it is to be poor." He says, "And I know how it is to abound," or to be wealthy, or to have the things of life. And he says, "Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Now here's where this little passage comes in that is so often taken out of context. And I want you to listen to it. Paul sums up all of that by saying, "And I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Now, have you ever heard that before, that passage? Sure you have. You hear people quote it all the time. "Oh, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." Can you do what Paul says? Can you say, "Hey, if I'm in poverty, I can abound and I can still do what God wants me to do. I'll be happy. I won't worry about it. I won't be frustrated." A lot of people can't. Matter of fact, their life is destroyed if their wealth is suddenly taken away. It is. If you were given the opportunity, and not everybody is given that opportunity, believe it or not, to make one last request of God, what would it be? What would your request be? One last request. Now, Solomon didn't know he was going to die right then. But it's the last request that we know of, we have record of, that he makes of God. I don't think Solomon at that point thought that his death was imminent. But he did say, "This last request I make of thee before I die," before that moment ever comes. "Keep me from lies and vanity, and give me neither poverty nor riches, lest I deny thee and say, who is the Lord?" You know, we ought to be a people that make that request of God every day, shouldn't we? Should be. Every day. "And God, help me to keep my focus on what is really important in life." Sometimes those of us as Christians forget. We get wrapped up with the world just like everybody else does. And we start thinking like the world. And sometimes instead of us influencing the world and helping them understand how important it is to go to heaven and to be in that celestial city with God, we start listening to the world to tell us how wonderful it would be if we had more money and we had more wealth and if we could enjoy all the pleasures of this life. And our view of God becomes extremely skewed. I hope tonight in your heart of hearts, as you really think about your life, and, you know, I'm not saying it mandates a public response up here at the front of the building. Maybe it does. Maybe there's some things that need to be made right, or things that adjustments that need to be made. But I hope one thing, whether you do that publicly or whether you do it privately, I hope in your life, if you feel that perhaps maybe the emphasis has not been upon going to heaven, and that hadn't been a priority with you, and I hope you'll reevaluate and change your heart and change your life. Dwight's selected a song that we're going to sing as an invitation song tonight, and we thereby always give people an opportunity to respond to the gospel of Jesus, either to become Christians and put on the Lord in baptism and thereby sealing our relationship with Him, and or acknowledging our need through prayer for one another. And whatever your need is tonight, if we can be of help to you in meeting that need and responding to the cause of Jesus, we're going to give you that opportunity now while we stand and sing.